living the best rent life I've ever had. I had a man slap tell me, told him, I said, I'm going into full-time ministry. He said, don't do that. God's not in it. That broke my heart, man. I went home, prayed for 2 weeks. And guess what? God answered, said, get out the truck, get out the business, stop relying on people and rely on me. And it's worked out swimmingly since. So be a person of action. And man, I challenge you to be. And I wish this would just fall on one young person here. You know what I mean? Because I know it's hitting some adults this morning, but I wished. I just asked God right now in my spirit, I wish it just hit some young teenager. Did it just roll off one of y'all's older men and older women's shoulder who's sitting there? I know some of you's already made up your mind, I'm going to do something for God. Amen. I'm going to do something. I don't know what it is, but I'm doing something. When we live, I'm going to get started. But I wish one teenager, I wish it just roll off on her shoulder and they go, he don't think I can do it. I'm going to. He don't think I can go to school and live for God. I'm going to. He don't think I can get amongst my friends and live for God. I'm going to. I'm going to start something that nobody else can even imagine me starting. I'm going to start it right in the midst of where I'm at. Can I say something real quick before I move on? I double dog dare you to. I dare you to. I dare you to start something. Well, what if I get in trouble? Get in all the trouble you can for God. You'll never regret it. Amen? 1 Samuel 18, verse 3. I wrote these on the fly, so don't hold that against me. Or hold it against me, but don't hold it against God. Amen? Jonathan was a covenant man. He trusted in God more than his own current situation. Some of you need to hear this. Stop trusting your current situation and trust God. 18:3, 1 Samuel 18:3. This is one beautiful place we'll find out why Jonathan was blessed. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Whew. See, they sung a song this morning that says, when the God man passes by. David was God's man. Amen. He was a type and shadow of the coming of Jesus Christ. That kingdom and that lineage would be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want you to hear this. I want you to understand. Here's what he's saying. He said, I am, you got to understand, Jonathan was a king's son. So he would be a king. Amen. But when he seen David come along, he said, I want to dethrone myself. Some of y'all need to come off your thrones. Some of y'all need to stop being what you want to be and let God take the center place in your life. You need to let Jesus take the throne of your life and Him let Him have control of your life. See what He said when Jonathan walked in, when David walked in, he says, I no longer want to be what I want to be. I want to be what God would have me to be. He said, I'll make a covenant with your man. It ain't about me, it's about you. He can be the king. That's what he was saying. Listen to what he did in verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And his garments, even his sword, into his bow, into his girdle. God, this is good. You don't even get it yet. Everywhere Jonathan went, I mean, listen, everywhere David went, everywhere David went. So there goes Jonathan. There goes the king's son. There goes Jonathan. Somebody would look and say, that's not Jonathan. That's David. That's Jesse's son. Why is he wearing the king's garment? That means Jonathan has taken off his covering as the king, and he's put it on somebody else to be reckoned. If y'all ain't getting this, there's something wrong. He took his covering, his kingdom covering, and put it on somebody who didn't deserve it. And everywhere he goes, he's recognized as the king's son. And if he's the king's son, he's equal to the king. Somebody said it. It's just like Jesus. Remember when the prodigal son came home? I got any prodigals in here? Do I have any prodigals in here? I was a prodigal. I ain't going to stay in the king's man. I ain't staying at home. Daddy, I don't think you're right. Mom, I don't think you're right. I'm going to have to go see it for myself. Amen? We got any prodigals who said, I think I can do it better myself. And go off into the devil town and run it all the way in the ground. Is anybody here run it all the way in the ground? Who's laying in the hog pen? Anybody here ever laid in a hog pen? I love that verse. The Bible says he laid in a hog pen and he thought if it would suffice him that he would have ate what the hogs ate. But then he said he came to himself. He came to himself. See, you can have all the preaching in the world, but until you come to yourself, amen? Until you come to an end of yourself, amen? I come to the end of myself August 28th of 04, but before that, I'd eat enough hog mess and laid with the hogs, and all of a sudden, he came to himself, and he said, you know what? My daddy's house is better. My daddy's house is better than this place. He dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. I love what he said in his heart, and this is what I've said a million times. When I go back to God, when I go to him, I'm going to tell him, God, I'm not good enough. I don't want to be a son. I want to be a servant. God, when I left, I said, give me. When I came back, I said, God, make me. You ain't never been saved if you ain't asked God to make you. If you're still asking him to give you, you ain't made it there yet. You're asking him to make you. Make me and mold me into what you have. Amen. We call that the message of the prodigal son. We should call that the message of the great father. Because when he's seen him a great way off, God's been watching you. Amen. He's been watching you. It's the only place in Scripture you ever see that God runs. It's the only. He caught his son in mid-stride. He said, while he was yet a great way off, God drew nigh to him. He wrapped him up in an embrace. While he was hugging his son who was still covered, my God, who was still covered in the mess, he turns to his servant and say, go into the mansion and grab the greatest robe we got. Go get Jesus. We're going to cover this hog mess covered, sin laden, lying, deceiving boy in the righteousness of my only begotten son. Amen? Jonathan said, I don't want to be king. I've met you and you're a God man. I don't want to be king. Let's make a covenant together. Let's make a covenant together. Some of you parents need to make a covenant with God. I ain't got much time left, God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm going to live my life on fire for you. I'm going to live my fire. I'm going to light my fire and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to exhaust my life for you. I'm going to tell people about you. I'm going to live in a certain way that when I die, people will say, that was a God man. That was a God woman. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Why would you want to do that? 2 Samuel 9. Jonathan lived to leave something for his kids. He knew that God could reach his lineage no matter where he was or where they were. God will save some because some got serious with God for me and probably didn't even meet me. God is faithful. You know what Jonathan did? Jonathan looked down. Some of y'all got a narrow view. Some of y'all got a narrow look. You're looking at your next bill. You're looking at your house. You're looking at your car. You're looking at things that are temporal, which is fine. You got to take care of business. I understand that. But listen, have a little bit further view. Jonathan looked down and he said, you know, there'll be a time that I'm not here. And my kids, I don't know where they'll be. I don't know what they'll be doing. But if I live for God and set my life on fire for God and do what's right for God, I just have a feeling that if I make a covenant with him, he'll never forget my children. Even when I can't reach them, when I can't reach them and I can't touch them and I can't go, God will go for me. God will go for me. I love this story. Is there anybody left? Can I read that verse one more time? Listen to this. And David said, can I say it the way I want to read it? And Jesus said, is there yet anything left of the house of the Sheltons? Would you put your name in there? That I may show him kindness for somebody in his family's sake that loved me more than they loved their life. You might have a son, you might have a daughter. You might have a nephew or a niece. You might have somebody you love very much. And you don't know how it's going to turn out in their life. And you don't know when you're going to pass away. And you say, God, I'm going to live for you in such a way that one day just remember them. Don't ever forget they're out there. And the word come back. There's one. His name's Mephibosheth. He's crippled. He can't walk. He can't walk. I couldn't walk either. I tried to walk for God, but I couldn't. I never met my great-grandmother. But my great-grandmother had a legacy. They said you couldn't pass by her house after 7 o'clock at night. She'd leave the windows open and pray, and you could hear her from 3 or 4 houses down. Prayed for God to do a work in her family. I never met her, and she never met me. But I believe God honors great prayers. I believe she was living in such a way because I'd hear stories. I heard a preacher man by the last name of Plumley said, I used to walk 2.5 miles around your great-grandmother's house because if you ever stopped by there, she would tell you a story about Jesus. She would pull you in that yard and she would hang clothes. And while you stood there, she'd tell you about Jesus. So we'd get on the railroad track and walk 2 miles around because we'd want to go fishing. I want to tell you this. You don't believe this. You might not even know it. But if you got kids or you got grandkids, God, wouldn't it be good to leave a legacy? Wouldn't it be good if God said one day, man, where's one of them great, 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 great Hughes kids that I can bless because somebody lived for God? Where's one of them Smiths? Amen? Where are they at? Now listen, I don't want to curse you, man. I'm not going to curse you, but I'm going to say this. Not everybody sitting in this church is going to live a perfect life. Not everybody's going to stay drug-free. Not everybody's not going to have divorces and trouble and be in jail. There's some people that sit on these pews that are sitting in jail today. Amen? Am I telling the truth? You don't know what it's going to look like in the future for some of these babies and some of these kids sitting in here. But wouldn't it be good if God sent somebody in Lodabar? You know what Lodabar is? Lodabar is where Mephibosheth was. You know what it means in the translation? It means this, without a pastor. He didn't have a word. Your kids, your grandkids can get in a place where they didn't get a word. They don't even have God. They ain't got nothing godly about them. They ain't got nothing godly around them. You know what God did? Dispatched one. Whew. I wish somebody come up here on this altar today and say, God, dispatch one for me. When I'm gone, when I'm dead, when I'm passed away, when my legacy's over, God, because I lived for you, because I sold out for you, reach down for somebody, God, because I loved you so much. Don't forget me, God. Don't forget our covenant. And God won't He won't forget a covenant. God is faithful. God is true. I love the story about Mephibosheth because he went down and he got him in Lodabar. Where there was no God, things going on, he went and got him. Has anybody else been reached out of Lodabar before? Is there anybody in here that got saved in a place where there was no God for you? I did. God come and got me in my Lodabar. He brought a crippled man all the way back. When you're crippled, you can't do a whole lot. We're all spiritually crippled before we meet Jesus. You know what he did? He brought him up there and he said, Lord, what are you doing with a dog like me? He said, I need you to sit at my table. From now on, you ain't sitting at nobody else's table but mine. You know what I thought about that? As soon as he sits down at that table and they scoot his chair in, guess what he is? He's equal with everybody else at the table. Amen? Ain't it awesome how God can hide all your flaws and your infallibles by his table? Amen? The Bible reads like this, God has prepared a table for you in the Say it. I heard you say it. In the presence. When everybody's telling Mephibosheth, you'll never amount to nothing. Your daddy and them was Christians. They were kings. They did that. You ain't ever going to amount to nothing. Nobody's ever coming for you. Guess what? When your enemies are watching, God's preparing a table. All the wolves, all the lions, all the haters, all of them are sitting there looking at you, waiting for you to fail. And God says, sit down, son. I'm going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You're going to eat from my table, and everybody else is going to watch.
Amen.
Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Here's the points I want you to take away from this. Number one, be a man or a woman of action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Go after what God's wanting you to go after. Don't let the enemy get too close to you and your family. Fight.
Amen.
Jonathan was a covenant man. You need to make a covenant with God today. God, forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. I'll live for you. I'll serve you. I want to be with you. God, I'll trust you more than my current circumstance. God, this is what you want to say. Get me off of my throne and you take my throne. Here's your last point to take away. God, when I'm dead and gone, reach down for my kids and my grandkids. God, reach them where I can't reach them. God, help them where I can't help them.